This is episode 45 with TL Mazumdar.
Welcome to the As Told by Nomads podcast, where you'll learn how nomads, third culture kids, entrepreneurs, and leaders all over the world embrace their global identity and use their difference to make a difference. And now, having lived on four different continents, here's your host, Tayo Roxy.
Welcome, everybody. Today, I have with me TL Mazumdar. He describes himself as an Indo-German singer, songwriter, composer, multi-instrumentalist who is based in Germany and India. So you can see he's very, very well talented. He grew up in Libya, London, two parts of India, as well as Germany, so a full-on TCK. And he just recently released his sophomore album, and he's been kind enough to join us on the show here. Welcome, TL.
Thanks for having me, man. It's an honor.
Nah, the honor is truly mine. So I was talking about your background there, and you've grown up in different parts of the world, different continents, and you know, you're instrumentalist, musician, composer. Yeah. I'm just curious, could you give us more of a background about how you grew up, who you are, and just why you really traveled around so much?
Well, okay. So I was born just about in India, in Kolkata, which is in the eastern part. It's kind of shares its culture with Bangladesh. Bengal basically got divided into Bangladesh and West Bengal, the latter belonging to the Indian constitution or the Indian nation, the way it's been developed over the years. It used to be one large subcontinent, right? India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. Pakistan. So I was born in the Indian half of Bengal, so to speak, and then I left when I was 7 months old because my parents were traveling doctors, and they just basically found this really great job in Libya. They just graduated college and were young doctors looking for work, looking to find their footing in the world, and they were offered this really great post as professors and doctors in Libya back then. And that's where it all started. I spent the first 5 years of my life mostly in Libya. And eventually, I think just about a couple of years before the war started in Libya, they decided to leave. I think things started getting a little too weird for all of us. So that's when they left for London. That's where we spent the next few years. Mom would be studying and working at the same time. My dad would basically be doing something between a house husband kind of thing and working every now and then. And at some point after about 7 or 8 years, they said, okay, let's try and move back to India, which is where we come from, which is fine for them to say, except when I landed up in India, it was a very foreign country to me. And that's when I think the first bouts of confrontation about the fact that I do belong to or don't belong to the same culture my parents come from started making themselves apparent to my mind.
So you mentioned a few things there. You started off in India, and that was when Bangladesh, India, a lot of the countries were together.
Yeah.
But you were in the Indian part, and then you moved on to Libya. And I'm assuming Gaddafi was because I remember reading a lot about it, and he was removed, but I knew of that time period. And then so you had that, and then you went to England.
Yeah.
But that statement you made, the statement you said that when you went back to India, India was very foreign for you.
Yeah.
How did you reconcile with the fact that India wasn't home for you?
Well, I'm still working on it, to be absolutely honest. I think that's where the discovering the whole third culture kids community, if that's the right word to use, mm-hmm. really helped me figure things out. Just kind of coming to terms with the fact that India, which is, you know, where my parents definitely come from, where my ancestry comes from, will be and never will be my home in the sense of the word. It usually means to most people. How did I reconcile? Well, I think over the years I've kind of learned to pick and choose things I decide I like to be Indian in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it completely makes sense, yeah.
And discarded a whole bunch of stuff I prefer not to identify myself with. There's India has this really deep spiritual, mystical side to it, which does resonate with me. But it's almost a cliche sometimes. You know, it's not something I'm very fond of talking about, to be honest, because I tend to come across as one of those New Age guys. Okay, that sounded a little discriminatory. I didn't mean it that way.
Well, I mean, I think that's the great thing about the third culture kid thing is that you really, you don't have to choose one home. You know, you have a lot of homes, and it's reflected in your character and just who you've become. So, that struggle that you were defining there is very, it's something I identify with, and it's something I definitely understand. Is because you know your parents are traveling doctors, and you ended up moving around, and what happens is you innately pick things from different countries. So it's not, you know, I think a lot of times people, third culture kids, we feel guilty sometimes, like you were saying. But I think as we start to really understand the concept of what TCK, being a TCK really is, it's I think it's refreshing as we start to really just embrace that global identity rather than, you know, pigeonholing ourselves to say, hey, we're just this, we're just that. Because, you know, it really is, you know, it's okay. To say,
absolutely.
You know, my parents are Indian. I do have a lot of Indian in me. I mean, I could look Indian, but, you know, my true home is the world. And it's just, you know, for me, it could be Libya, it could be London, it could be Germany, like, you know, in your case, but I'm not just one. So I think.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, so then when people ask you where you're from, what do you say?
Oh, yeah, it's always that question, isn't it? Where are you from?
That's the most difficult question for me when people ask me, so.
Oh, yeah, I hear you, man. I'm actually trying to, you know, depending on the situation, I kind of answer these days with TCK. I say, I'm a third culture kid. I grew up in four countries, so take your pick, really.
I've got four countries for you to take a pick from. Let's go.
Yeah, but I guess in a way, I mean, technically speaking, I'm German by nationality, so I guess I'm quite comfortable calling myself German of Indian ancestry as well. I'm all right with that.
It's cool.
For people who have no clue whatsoever what TCK means, I'll go with that, I guess.
I'm guessing you speak German.
Yeah.
Obviously you speak English. Hindi.
Hindi, and there's Bengali, which is what Bengal usually speaks. India has 16 languages officially. There's a whole bunch more, actually. But, so Bengali is what Bengal speaks, and I learned Hindi, German, English, four languages.
Just putting me to shame right there, but it's okay, it's all right. You know, I only speak English and 3/4 of French, so, you know, one day I'll catch up to you.
To be fair, Hindi and Bengali, I mean, they're, the jury's still out on whether they're actually separate languages, because they are very similar to each other, and most people who speak Bengali would be able to speak the other in varying degrees of proficiency. So that's,
okay. Now, you know, when you reached out to me, I was really fascinated, and I started to listen to music because you sent me some of that, and I was on your website. You said that the second album, I think your sophomore album, was inspired by your discovery of the word TCK. Was that correct?
Very true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you talk to me about that journey? Because music is often an expression of oneself, but I am so fascinated and curious to hear what that journey was like and how you put that into a musical form.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was just eating lunch earlier on a couple of hours back and thinking about how music really is the one living proof of that one common thread that penetrates all cultures, no matter where you're from. I mean, you could be born anywhere in the world, but you always bang the drum or try and sing a song every now and then. It doesn't really matter where you're coming from. But, the album. I took about 3 years to finish this album, which is pretty long by my standards. I'm usually a lot faster with music when I'm working through. But I started off working on most of it here in my studio in Germany. And I was traveling quite a bit between Germany and the UK back then because I had a girlfriend in the UK. Who happens to be third cultural kid herself, I guess, because she's a quarter Irish, quarter British, and quarter Indian. And I remember I was playing a few of these songs, the stuff I was working on, and just about around the time when I thought I was finished with the album, and then she took a listen and said, you know, there's like an entire half of you missing on this music. I said, well, what are you talking about? It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, this could be just any random musician from Europe or the West. I mean, where did that eastern part of you go? And to be honest, I was quite pissed off when she said that.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's kind of she just really laid it out there for you. Like, well, your music is good, but you know, you could do a little bit better.
Yeah, she never minds her words much. So I was like, all right, okay, I'm gonna contemplate on that a bit and. I hated admitting it to myself, but then I realized, well, why? I mean, you know, it's true. This really could be anyone. Anyone's probably generalizing a little too bit, too much. But it really did fail to address an entire cultural side to me, which I guess in some ways I'd also been kind of avoiding in a way. Because thing about being a musician, especially being a musician from the East, oftentimes you're kind of struggling to break stereotypes. I still get asked things like, hey, don't you play the sitar or tablas or something? I mean, you're Indian, right? So I'm a trained jazz pianist. You know, the primary form of musical art comes from the U.S., technically speaking. So I've always been a little wary about addressing or expressing musical sides which have roots in India. But I guess in a way I realized, okay, I've been doing this for a while, and if I am that confident in my multicultural identity, God, that sounds so horrible, but maybe it's time that, you know, I try it and kind of embrace it and see where it takes me. So I moved to India for a couple of months. I got rid of about half of the material I've been working on, basically just kind of literally deleted half of those files, and stripped down a lot of material I've been working on, and moved to India for a couple of months and started collaborating and working with musicians there locally. And that took another year. And then some friends of mine from the U.S. Contributed it on it as well. And eventually I came about getting results I thought I was okay with. And yeah, I guess that kind of sums it up, the story.
No, that's you know, it's interesting to me, especially when you brought up that stereotypes issue. So when people see you and they know that you're a musician, they expect you to sound a certain way just because of how you look. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it'll usually start off with the question, okay, where are you from? And, you know, and that'll eventually lead to the point where I have Indian ancestry, and that's when the next question will be, oh, you play the sitar. So I was like, no, I'm sorry. And then there'll be a question, well, how come you sing in English? Which, again, it can be very irritating because, I mean, assuming I were 100% Indian, English still is an unofficial language of India. And although, you know, Indian English in itself is a dialect in its own right, in a way, a lot of people really don't realize that there's a large population of Indians who are native English speakers. So these questions, they do kind of tend to be irksome on so many levels that it's kind of put me into in a place where I feel the need to put up a wall against it.
Right.
I can't work on it, you know. And,
yeah. Hey, we're all working on it. We work on it every day.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, so I'm in the media business. I do a lot of art stuff, but I definitely am not as artsy and as talented as you are in terms of, you know, using art to express myself. I'm more of a writer and producer and that type of thing.
Well, don't be so sure. I'm not taking you off, right?
Well, okay, fine. We are both artists in one way or the other.
There you go.
but one thing that I would want to I'm curious to hear your thoughts on is how to get into a career like yours. So, as a multicultural artist, for example, where let's say there's another TCK listen to this and he or she loves music and wants to express his or herself. What would you give that person as a piece of advice in terms of, you know, pursuing that career?
Wow, that's a biggie, I think, especially considering the drastic changes the music industry is going through. I mean, when I say arts is a really, really, really broad umbrella, right? But I'll stick to music since that's my area of expertise. Might just be an overstatement, but it is what I do for a living. Expertise is just anyone's guess in today's world, really, especially when it comes to the music industry, because right, what was the question again?
What piece of advice would you give?
Yeah, well, all things considered, and if I were to summarize it in one sentence, it will be have the courage to be yourself no matter how hard it comes across to be.
Have the courage to be yourself no matter how hard it comes across to be. And
yeah.
So that's, you know, in the music industry, I hear this, I don't know if it's true or not, you know, when you get paired up with certain producers or directors or, you know, whatever, they have an image that they want you to portray. So maybe a multicultural person says, hey, well, we want to have the first black or first this, first Indian type of thing. How do you navigate between that when people are trying to define you and you feel like you're not the way that they're trying to define you as?
Well, my gut instinct is just to kind of, you know, turn around and run in the other direction. But again, that's something I'm, you know, trying to improve upon because you kind of take what you have in your circumstances and work with it. It's that stereotype thing again. It's the art of finding a balance between what you think you want to project and what the rest of your partners in the industry want you to project. Because, you know, there's the artist within, which is in a way immortal. You know, the artist never really dies. But then you take that next step and you want to make a living out of your passion, your art, which is pretty much a whole different ballgame. Because what you're basically saying is, you know, I'm going to take that step and make art, which art's my source of income. Or even drastically put, I'm taking that step where I'll be dependent on my art for my food and shelter. And that just kind of changes the dimension entirely because you can't just walk away and say, no, you know what, forget it, I'm not going to do this. You're always going to have to find a way to make compromises where you actually might have something to gain. Does that sound too vague?
Yeah, no, it sounds, it's not, no, it's not vague. It sounds very, you know, I can see that it's very tricky. Because sometimes when I, you know, for me, I get, you know, I get often get confused for being something that I'm not. I'm Nigerian. And that's what I say most of the time anyway. It's, and it's, you know, people always try to put you in a box. I remember during the Obama election, when I was here during the Obama election, and I had, you know, everybody come to me just because, you know, I'm black. But, yeah. And I remember saying to myself, you know, I didn't tell them any, I didn't tell any of them. I just remember saying to myself, I couldn't vote. So, I mean, I didn't really have any impact in this. But,
yeah.
But I just always, that always stuck with me, because I was always thinking, it's always interesting, the perception of the way people see you, and having that awareness of that can either be a good or bad thing. And it's that fine line between making sure you don't lose yourself with that and being true to yourself. So whether it's music or art or any of that, I think it's important to definitely recognize, you know, like you were saying, you know, you said something about compromise there, but I think it's, I would say maybe recognize the fact that, you know, there could be some benefit with what they're saying, but also make sure that you don't end up losing yourself in the process. Because you don't want 5 years from now saying, you know, I wonder why I didn't express, like your girlfriend was saying, that part of myself in my music, you know, because it's really a big part of me. And I hate the fact that that happened. And with the way the music industry is going right now, and something that I notice is a lot of people can bypass that middleman. And a lot of times, so whether it's mixtapes they release or whether it's YouTube channels they have, they just put it out there, right?
Absolutely.
And a lot of times it's probably not what would be studio produced or the radio sound, but I'm starting to see with a lot of artists where they go, you know, Louis C.K. is a popular comedian here in America, but he, you know, he just uses his website to release his stand-up specials all the time. And it just sells it. And, you know, so people are starting to find a way to stay true to themselves and just use digital media in some way to really express their true art. So, I mean, that's essentially why I created UID, and that's why a lot of the stuff was there, because I got tired of the media, and I'm fascinated by the media, but I got tired of the media having all these red tape and having certain restrictions of what you could publish and what you couldn't publish. And, you know, I just really wanted to produce content that I felt resonated with, you know, the audience that we have, which is, you know, multicultural millennials, third culture kids, global nomads, people that identify with several cultures, just because, you know, I believe as we start to become more globalized, we're going to have to understand different cultures. But I didn't want it to be any filter. And that can be tricky sometimes, but it's something that, that's why when you said it, whether it was vague or not, I don't think it's vague. I just think it's something that we're all still learning about, but I always try to just keep that in the background, make sure I don't try to lose myself in that, even though it can be easy if one isn't careful.
Well, I think you're doing a great job, if I may just mention in between there. I totally love reading your mag, literally. It's one of those, and I look by a site at least 4 or 5 times a week and really enjoy the content. I think the UID is a great example, actually, in answer to your question. I think we've come to a point where your audience is just going to find you if they really want to.
That's how we found each other, right?
Yeah, exactly, which is all the more reason to kind of make sure you're not making any compromises on the form of expression you're actually using. Because, you know, that way you're actually confusing your audience all the more. You know, you want to make sure there's no holds barred kind of an attitude happening, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. And that's one of the reasons I really got excited when you sent that email, because, you know, I'm glad that these bonds can be formed online. Yeah. No.
I can't even remember how I found your website, to be honest.
That's the crazy thing. That's what's really cool about it. But, okay, so just to stay on this connection thing here. You travel a lot. How do you connect when you travel? Everybody has different ways. I have different ways, but I'm curious as to how you connect, because you grew up in 4 different countries, but you travel just because of your work. So,
yeah. Well, I have to admit, the internet's pretty much my lifeline as far as communications are concerned, because I can, you know, my life can be a little drastic at times, I'll spend days of my week interacting with like enormous amounts of people, you know, starting with people I teach, and I also do some work in social projects as an artist. And so we're looking about, I don't know, about 60 people I'm dealing with on some weeks in the span of 3 days. And then I'll spend the second half of my week completely locked up in my studio working on my content. So, you know, my surroundings can be drastically different in a very short span of time. So the only common thread which kind of keeps you connected to this very vast array of people is the internet. I think that, you know, I've been touring quite a bit in Asia these past 3 years, and I have to be, you know, I just realized now, I think the first contacts I made, and even a couple of festival dates I got were just over Facebook, as crazy as it sounds.
That is insane. And you know, when people talk about digital media, it's good or bad. So, but I always try to focus on, especially for people like us, third culture kids and people that identify with several cultures. It is so interesting the way you can form connections through digital media, and it's just
amazing, isn't it? Really?
It sounds like you did a good job of you building, you know, relationships that you can that you still connect with today, and you know, are helpful to you in your career as well.
Well, I do have mixed feelings about it. I will be honest.
Let's hear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do come across slightly isolated at times. You know, that's another one of those things as TCK, and, you know, you have friends all over, and you're answering an average of 3 or 4 different mails to different people in different parts of the world. But I find myself oftentimes literally being on my own for, I don't know, 2 or 3 days. It's a pretty deadly combination of being a third culture kid and a musician at the same time. You know, each on their own can kind of isolate you in some ways. So, but they're also both liberating as well. So it's always a bit of an oscillatory thing. I'll oscillate between being amongst huge arrays of people and none whatsoever. Yeah, maybe it's just me. I don't know.
No. It's definitely not just you. It's, you know, it's one of those things. With TCKs and what I've been doing for the past year or so, it's when I talk to them, a lot of times it's the gray area. There's the black. You know, there's no black or white. So it's always, you know, it's either something really positive, or something really good, or something you struggle with, and it's just a matter of channeling that. So a lot of times, whether you have the identity crisis or you're trying to figure out how not to be isolated, there are different ways you can channel those emotions into positivity or negativity. And it's the line is so fine. So it could be one action that could be perceived as something great in one culture and another.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's
cultural idiosyncrasies, you know.
Yeah,
you make a great joke in one country and you're, you know, beheaded another for the same.
Exactly. So that's why it's always good to be aware. And then a lot of times I often remind TCKs that, you know, you're actually one of the few people in the world that can actually be aware of this if you actually tap into it. Because a lot of times when I talk to TCK, especially the younger ones, they say, oh, well, I don't know where I fit in. But I'm always say, well, just think about this. You grew up here, your parents are here, you had this culture as well.
Yeah,
you understand some of the things. You might not be fully immersed as, say, the natives, but you understand some of the things that you shouldn't do. And as opposed to someone else that will just be coming here as a tourist. So that can be used as an advantage, whether it's in a workplace, when you know how to identify with several cultures or several personalities. Or, you know, when you're just aware of what not to say. You wouldn't say something ignorant or something like that. So just, you know, but it's a way of self-awareness that one has to get to, because it's, I remember when I was younger, and I was like the only person in American school, or only person among Europeans, and I felt like I was, you know, a fish out of water. I had a different accent. It was just trying to fit in, and it was always so difficult.
But, that could be me talking right now. Except for the American part, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but then, you know, but now I look back and I'm always saying, you know, I'm grateful that I went through that, because now I know, you know, that it will be okay.
But then, absolutely. Yeah, that's another thing about the English language, isn't it? I mean, it's one language, but you have so many different dictions and accents. It can be, you could be speaking the same language, but, you know, sound so different. You mentioned one thing about accent. I remember when I first went back to India, when you asked me earlier on about how that was, I have this memory of being asked to stand up in class and this teacher was literally interrogating me about why I'm speaking with a British accent, because it was a history lesson, and topic of the lesson being Indian independence, and here I was speaking with a London accent.
Like what?
And she was like, "Do you know what happened on the soil of this country?" I was like, "Yeah, but you know, it's not like I'm British, but this is the way I speak." That was probably also one of those very first instances where I really realized, God, you know, this is supposed to be at least where my parents say home is, you know, and why am I being treated like this? And it's funny, I spent the next few years literally learning the Indian accent, literally just to fit in. And then when I moved back to Europe, everyone was like, "Hey, where's that accent from? That's are you Indian, or you sound Indian, but you don't really sound Indian?"
Oh, I completely get that.
That's good to hear.
No, it's good. I had a strong Nigerian accent before I moved to Burkina Faso, and then I went to an American school, and then one of the ways I was trying to fit in was to really try to understand the American accent. So I was trying that. But then along the way, I stopped trying because I was like, this is too much. And then the accent just became what it is. Now, sometimes, you know, I sound very different. I could hear hints of Nigerian in most of my family, like, you know, India. A lot of Nigerians are in England. So I have like 90% of my cousins, 99 rather, who live in England. So when they come, you know, I'm like, I start to say literally all the time. And so, you know, literally when I used to say that before, and I just let it go. But a lot of times I hear, "Well, you sound very different than you sounded on the phone." Now in person, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's just the way it is. But I remember.
So let me ask you this. You also find yourself sounding different in different parts of the world?
Oh, yeah. When I go back
home. Oh, thank God. I'm so relieved.
No, when I go back home to Nigeria, I think I sound, you know, Nigerian. I start to say some of the things there. And then, even when I come back here a little bit, I keep a little bit of that. But then I, you know, people start to say, "Well, what happened?" And then it comes back. But whenever I am with different people, my accent shifts and I'm often not aware of it until someone points it out. But
that's very reassuring to hear, I have to be honest, because I sometimes psych myself out in the way I sound. I remember recently another ex-girlfriend of mine traveled with me to India for the first time, and she was really shocked when she saw me. I was like, "Why are you speaking this way? Why are you speaking this way?" I was like, "Well, speaking what way?" And yeah, that was funny too. But since we are on the topic, I have to, I should probably mention that's another area where music has been a huge help, especially singing. Because during my vocal training, if you're a singer-songwriter, your diction is one of those things you really need to kind of be conscious of in a good way. Not self-conscious, but conscious of. So that's really helped me kind of balance out all the edges, I guess, in a way, to kind of find a singular line of diction which kind of works in most contexts. I think that's another reason. That might actually be one of the first reasons I started to sing, because I studied piano, right, and I started off as an instrumentalist and working as a sideman for other artists. And at some point I realized I want to sing. I've been writing songs all my life, but I'd usually get others to sing. And back then, like about 7 or 8 years back, it's only been 6 or 7 years now that I started singing myself. And it's been a healing process on very different levels. My insecurities about my accent being one of those issues that have been really helped.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I often listen to music a lot. And a lot of times when you hear musicians and you hear them talk, they're so different. But music is, you know, that universal language. You're like, oh, I thought you were American. And then you hear it's like a really British accent. And I'm always fascinated. Because everybody always says, well, I didn't expect that. I didn't see it as it. But it's so funny how music can actually sound. So, I mean, Celine Dion, for example, when you hear her speak, she doesn't sound a lot like the way she sounds. She has that French Canadian accent. I think it's really cool the way everybody universally can connect with music in that way. So yeah, no, I can see how that definitely helped with definitely comfortable with that. But I'm glad that this accent thing doesn't it's not just isolated to me or to just us. It's it's universal.
Oh, I hear you, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's even on a certain level, it's almost even worse in Central Europe because since most of Central Europe doesn't don't find that many native English speakers. A lot of times, the accent is actually mistaken as a part of the language. A lot of Central Europeans don't really realize that English does have very different accents, and depending on where you come from, you could speak the same language, but in completely different accents and contexts, too. I often find myself being interrogated quite a lot here, too, where my English comes from.
Well, fear not, friend. You're not alone.
Good to hear, my man.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up soon, but this conversation is really fascinating, so I have to make sure I remember that I wanted to ask you about the way you use your difference to make a difference.
Absolutely.
How do you use your difference to make a difference?
I realize that one of the reasons I make music is to bring worlds together. I think it's one of those meetings where you actually can make it happen. And it's especially working on my last album, it's been such a huge revelation. I basically got musicians together who, I say even on my bio, who would probably never ever share a stage together, ever. Because they come from musical traditions which are so vastly different in the way they condition the art that you're usually kind of fixed on a certain path and in the way you express that form. So the ironic part is, though, the actual content of what it is you're learning isn't different from any other tradition. But since we as human beings are so good at being conditioned, a lot of people never really come out of that tradition. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but the challenge for me while working on Gwek, which is the name of my album, was trying to get these people inside a room and interact with structures and formats that were outside their comfort zone, mine included, by the way. And these were people from very different cultural backgrounds, very different musical backgrounds, and to actually witness the fact that it works, that you eventually get these people to amalgamate into a sound which is its own identity, its own presence, was quite euphoric to that, to be honest. It was pretty much a turning point in my life because, as I mentioned earlier, I was very wary of crying it out and trying to incorporate Eastern musical traditions into what I do. When it actually worked, it was a very clear sign for me that, okay, this is what my life is about, bringing worlds together. And it's only a beginning, I think. What you have at the end of the day is just sound, the music, which is happening. But the trail of the entire process that's behind is in itself also such a learning, almost I'll use the word cleansing experience, that you realize that, okay, you know, this is a pretty decent mission for a lifetime. I hope that doesn't sound, I don't know, I hope that doesn't sound religious or something, but I guess in a way music is as religious as I get anyway, so does that answer your question?
No, that does it in many, many ways, and I admire that, and I love that, because, you know, I share that vision with you. It's just you trying to bring different people together from different parts, and just connecting with that, and then, you know, because I honestly did, this is the premise of this, I got so frustrated with, you know, growing up everywhere, you start to see the causes of a lot of problems, that, you know, I'm from Nigeria, so many different tribes, you're from India, you understand just the different, how, absolutely, even though English is the official language, you have like over, like, I think we have 300 and something different languages, tribal languages, different tribes, the different, wow, religions, right? Mm-hmm. So in India, I think it's Hindu and Islam, the big ones there, but then Nigeria is Islam and Christianity. And then you have some extremists in the Islamist side in our area who might not agree with something, and then some different tribes go across different things, and then they start to use these differences to just drive them apart. And I started to notice this across the world, and it occurred to me that the biggest problems in the world that were caused by people's lack of ability to understand each other.
So it's such a huge burden to bear when you sometimes realize you might be the only person in the room who understands both of them, but you still see them not understanding each other. It can drive you up the wall.
It is so frustrating. I'm telling you, my friend. It was so frustrating to me seeing this all the time. And I was like, if you guys just, you guys are actually people, you're humans, you know, and it's okay that you guys have that difference, but you're all a human race. You're all a human race. So, I mean, so I got so frustrated. And like you said, you know, you want to bring people together. So that's why the platform came. And I honestly feel like, in order to build the next set of, you know, global leaders, we need to actually figure out a way to educate them to communicate across cultures and think outside the box. It's not just the same type of thinking. So I think you answered that question completely. So
I can very much relate to what you just talked about in Nigeria. I mean, India actually has, there's Hinduism, there's also Buddhism, and then there's Islam and Christianity. So and some Judaism too, actually. So there's a whole bunch of religions coexisting together. And up until a short time, it used to be, in some ways, a lot of people say, India is such a great example of how so many religions can coexist. But that's been changing over the decades to a certain degree. It's difficult to judge exactly to which degree it has changed, because you know how the media is, they thrive on sensation, so oftentimes it will be blown out of proportion. But it's also related to what you asked me earlier on about reconciling myself with my Indian part. Because like I said, there's this deep spiritual, mystical side I'm very comfortable and happy to be connected with. And then there's the political side, which is quite messed up right now. And there's a whole bunch of things happening there where you really don't feel that urge to kind of hold your head high and call yourself Indian in any way. But long story cut short, I think that's another one of those missions in life for me, where I want to use music or art in general to kind of bring people together and make them realize that at the end of the day, they're actually more similar to each other than they realize. That's the thing about conflict. Conflict also usually happens amongst people who are more similar to each other than different.
You're exactly.
Don't you think? Yeah.
I agree. I mean, it's people, look at it for both of our countries, it's people that are similar. And it says that they are Nigerian and they're Indian. I always try to say, you guys are actually from the same country. It doesn't matter that you're from a different state or any of that. And, you know, it's funny, when the World Cup comes, everybody bonds together. Hey, you know, with this, with that. But then, you know, the world that unifies them. But what about after that? It's like, But everybody else is looking from the outside and they're saying, you guys are in the same, you're both Nigerian. Like, just work on that, you know? So, I'm definitely with you on that, and I think it comes from a lot of people who actually have a lot of similarities if they look at themselves instead of emphasizing those differences. So that's why I say use your difference to make a difference. You know, you can actually enjoy that if you really, really see that. But, you know, we'll both be working on that, and hopefully we'll make an impact.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Amen to that.
Amen. So where can we find more about your music? How can we help you, you know? And where can we download all the, you know, your artistic instruments?
FindTL.com. Find me as in FindTL.com. Should have all info. So you can download my album there. You can order copies, hard copies, if you're interested. And there's a mailing list you can sign up for. I regularly write to my listeners. No spam, just a few bad jokes every now and then.
FindTL.com,
yeah.
All right. Well, it's been a pleasure, TL. I will put all this in the show notes when it comes out. And, it's been a fascinating discussion. We started off with the interview, and I completely forgot I was interviewing you, and I was just talking.
Me too, man. Me too. Absolutely. I have to be honest, before I came on, I was slightly nervous because most interviews I do have music magazines and stuff. This is my first. This is the first time I get to address this issue. You know, my connection as a third culture kid to my music and the impact that's had on its life. And I'm very glad that you're the person I got to talk to about this. I couldn't have asked for a better conversation. It's really.
Well, likewise, I'm sure this is going to be the beginning of many, many conversations, and I'm looking forward to supporting you in any way and getting this out there. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. Keep up that great work, and I'll be definitely looking up your magazine.
Thank you. And likewise as well. So, I'll talk to you soon, and have a fantastic day.
You as well, my brother.
All right.
Have a good day. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast. For more ways to use your difference to make a difference, as well as for show notes, head over to www.uidmag.com. Till next time, go out and make an impact in your world.